there are a lot of characters out there sharing mis, dis, and malinformation. And, mm-hmm. and to be frank, they're also sharing truthful and really good information. We think it's important for people to again, similar to not calling it fake news and actually narrowing it down to mis, dis, and malinformation. We also think it's important to look at the motives of the people that are sharing this.
Hello, friends, and welcome to season 5 of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. This is a podcast for all librarians, wherever you are in your journey. It is filled with amazing guests, important topics, and engaging conversations that will inspire, engage, and support all of us as Future Ready Librarians. I am your host, Shannon McClintock Miller. I am the district teacher librarian at Van Meter Community School in Van Meter, Iowa, and I serve as the Future Ready Librarian spokesperson. I have the pleasure of working within my library and school community and also with others around the country and world through Future Ready Librarian events, conferences, consulting, writing, and more. I am honored to bring these voices and the work of others to our podcast and to all of you. And today, I am so excited to catch up with an old friend, Darren. I haven't seen you like or talked to you forever.
No, it's been a long time. This is why I'm pretty amped. I'm gonna try to tone down my excitement to chat with you today.
I'm so excited too. Let's just start by having you introduce yourself and tell us about all the amazing things that you do.
That's also a long list, but Darren Hudgens, really excited to be here. I'm just going to jump in a little bit. My goal today is to try to bring, so I'm a former educator. I did it for a secondary level for 11 years. And my goal today is to get you media specialist librarians to partner, find friendship, whatever you want to call it, with your, I'll call them core teachers, whatever label. And I don't want to take out the primary folks, the K-8s, all those kinds of things. But because one of the lessons is in those 11 years, I don't feel like I used my media specialist librarians in the ways that I can. And we'll probably bring up Jennifer Lagarde a lot through this conversation because I co-authored 2 books with her. But we've been able to, or the more that I've worked with her, we've gotten to see that there were all of these opportunities that were missed throughout this particular process. So I'm gonna try to encourage folks for that end. So that's 11 years of my life, social studies, that kind of world. Also, I'll call it, back then it was vocational ed, now it's CTE, but I worked in that particular field, teaching courses on that. And then I switched careers when early ed tech. I thought this is kind of the future of education. And so I worked for a small nonprofit for 11 years. So apparently I have this 11-year thing. And now I am currently, well, let me back up. So I did lots of events in ed tech, keynotes, workshops, just a myriad of things, ran cadres, both in ed tech and coaching, a bunch of different fields. And then the last couple of years, I am the founder and CEO of my own company called Think, Do, Thrive. And I have done all kinds of things from, as I said, to co-authored 2 books, built courses for social emotional learning. I've been doing a lot of work in Utah and North Carolina. And we talked about this a little joke. I was on the early planning team for Future Ready when it first started, did a lot of the behind the scenes work with Nancy Mangum and Marianne Wolf and Tom and Leah and Sarah and the whole ballgame. So I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. I know. I think that it's just number one, fun to follow along what you're doing and also what you and Jennifer have done, of course.
Yeah.
But also just to think about like our journeys, right? And how EdTech like has changed our lives in so many ways.
Absolutely.
I've been doing these keynotes this week into Oklahoma to librarians, and to say out loud that we've been one-to-one at Van Meter for 13 years is just crazy to me, you know? And
it's weird.
We were ready to go when the pandemic yep. came, but we've also yep. learned so many great things too in the last like 3 years. And so
yeah.
it's fun to think of that journey.
Well, and I remember like, you know, when Project Red came out and like everybody was reading it, they were looking at all the stuff and like, yes. that seems like so long ago now. I mean, like, it's just yes. crazy how time flies.
It is. It's crazy. Well, and like you said, the work that you're doing with Jennifer Lagarde is so amazing, inspiring, so important to all of us. As not only librarians, but as teachers and administrators and families too. And when I asked for kind of some ideas around what Darren wanted to talk about today, the importance of developing digital detectives came up.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. So I can't wait to hear and for you to share more with our listeners about that topic.
Yeah. So, oh boy, there's so many ways to go. So I'm going to warp you way back into 2016 because, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit. It's easy. But I have a human development, behavioral science, social studies, brain, you know, those kinds of things. And I was watching what was going on at that time with the amount of propaganda, the amount of, you know, the term fake news all of a sudden appeared, all those kinds of things. There was a very polarizing election, just a myriad of things. Social media had an ability to amplify things like never before. Everybody has mobile devices. I mean, just on down the line. And I'm watching a lot of the rhetoric and that was also a time where we heard the term alternative truth kind of on the mainstream. Both of those terms, although, you know, we've changed the name of them, they've been around for a really long time. And from a historical background, I was like, wait a minute, this isn't new. What's new is our ability to amplify all these things and our ability to actually, because of these devices, quickly change things. Which before it took a long time to alter an image or even create a meme for that matter. And so I'm like, wait a minute, this is going south. I have two younger boys and I'm like, what's the world going to be like if there's no sense of truth? And like, and so I got real concerned. Jennifer and I have worked in a lot of different areas for a long time. And so we started talking about it and, anyway, that's where our first book, Fact Versus Fiction, was born. So that's like 2016. And what we really wanted to try to help folks with is the what and the why of like what was going on with regards to fake news. Like, this isn't new. Here's mm-hmm. history about it. But there's some things that we think you can do to help your students parse credibility and understand this world that, again, their brains are developing. They don't have the context we have, you know, pre-internet or a phone without a cord or, you know, like all those kinds of things. And so we put that book out and, you know, lots of people had lots of things and they got involved and it was great. And it kind of even surprised us because you never know when you throw something out in the world. So then we ended up doing a lot of talks and workshops and working with schools. And although we put some of the how in there, a lot of people said, we need lesson plans. We need like the how, like, how do we do this? We get you, we get the what and the why now, but then how? And so then we spent, you know, a long 2-3 years. I mean, like, I think it was out into 2020, 21. It's again, with the pandemic, it's all a blur. We put developing digital detectives out, and it is meant to be a book to not only share our evolution over those years, because a lot happened, but then also to give folks a bunch of here's how you can do it and a framework for which to look at it differently. And I can unpack that, but I've talked a lot here, so
I loved Fact versus Fiction, but I really love the Developing Digital Detectives. And the nice thing for me has been not only being able to use it in my own practice, but being able to sit down and to help my teachers be able to understand how we can support them. And I had a gal in that worked with me in the library, because I do so much collaboration. I had a partner who was a classroom teacher who was doing some of like that fixed library time that we had, and like pushing into the elementary, but also into the middle school. And she was a great teacher too, but it was so nice for her to be able to have that resource and for us to like collaborate and work together. But I always say this about like the way that we teach, especially with our kids, is we can only be with them like for so much. And so we also have to make sure our teachers understand these skills too, and the importance of this, because we want them to be able to support our kids, but we also want to make sure that our teachers, you know, understand too and have these resources. So I appreciate it so much from a librarian, but also so much in collaborating with our classroom teachers and making sure they have this.
Good. Well, and that's what we wanted to do, is create some common language that you could talk to each other. I mean, because again, the old way when we went in and, you know, you looked at a book, and then you looked at all of the background information, and you followed through and you know, maybe use the crap test or some of these other RADCAD or things that were out there. The world was way different back then. I mean, Jennifer does a great diagram of like when the iPhone was created, which kind of changed the game when it comes to being able to put content out. But like all that stuff was created before that.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting here going, it's not that those things are wrong or bad, but like we now get just teleported into things, and then there's no background information. There's no Walter Cronkite there. There's no, we know the same editor all the time. And so when you're thrown into something without any background knowledge or trust, on a mobile device that has a limited space. And again, most of those things were created for books, journals, early websites, all those kinds of things where it was a bigger screen. We've minimized these things. And so when we started thinking about it, as one, schools were banning mobile devices or making it difficult for students to actually learn from the very devices they're spending most of their time from. I mean, I remember it's like 7 to 9 hours a day they're on their phone outside of school. And so are we training them for the world that they're in? We also know they're highly obsessed with social media, as again, I'm not going to pretend that adults aren't like that either, but they're on it all the time. They share their identity on it all the time. They chat on it all the time. And are we teaching them in that environment? Well, so there's that world. And then the other side is we started thinking about, it's kind of like a detective. When a detective comes to a crime scene, they may have a little knowledge that there's been a murder or there's been something that has happened, but they have to go in and they have to use either the tools in their belt or the lenses and pick up on things and be very open and intuitive. They have to practice noticing, which is another, I use that in some other work, but they really have to be in tune to that. So what we then tried to do is say, how can we create some common language that we could teach kids of all ages and adults can understand to unpack this shift? And the shift is, so in book one, Fact Versus Fiction, we called it fake news. We talked about it all the time. We used that term. Jennifer and I evolved really out of a tweet from a gentleman by the name of Tim Dickinson, which was one of the inspirations of Fact Versus Fiction, is like, we have to be more nuanced in what we're calling this. Fake news is meant to cut off the legs of your opposition, to discredit something. We have to start saying, is this propaganda? Is this, you know, a hoax? Is this satire? Is this like be able to parse what it is and name it? And so, so what we did is kind of evolved into, we need to start talking about mis, dis, and malinformation. And as a detective, when you get this stuff on your phone, how do you parse what that particular thing is? And so we spent most of our time creating these lenses, lessons within those lenses to teach and scaffold that for, again, all ages. Even, I mean, in some cases, you can do it down to K-2.
Yeah, absolutely. I want you to give people who maybe haven't seen the book just like an example, because I think that's the big thing too. I remember giving the book to Brittany and she looked a little overwhelmed. And I said, trust me. I said, you'll love it. Yeah. And I mean, from the lessons to the resources, to being able to find a picture book, you know, like, but just like now just to unpack like what that would look like, pick a topic or pick one of your faves. And I think that's so helpful what people.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways to go. So the easiest thing to do is to understand that the book is set up in a couple of different ways. The first thing is, and I'll talk about the lenses and what that all means, because people that haven't read it, they don't understand, is that we want people, when they get information, to slow down, not just share to me. Like, I trust Shannon. And if Shannon sends me something, I'm going to assume that she already vetted the source, that it is legit, that it, you know, all these things. And I'm going to read it. And it's probably, because we're friends, going to affirm my beliefs, right? Because we're all in these bubbles now and we get sent stuff based on our likes and our engagements and all that. And so then I'm just going to turn around and maybe share it to somebody else. And I'll probably be sharing to somebody else who shares our beliefs, right? Or whatever. We want students to slow down. We want adults to slow down. And first of all, look at what we can control. And that's the top of these four lenses. And the four lenses, I'll just name two of them for right now. The first one, and we think is the most important one, is the trigger lens. And it's every bit of what it is. All of this content, headlines, whatever, is meant to engage emotion. We've known this for a really, really long time. We've amplified this to no end now. We use the big eight emotions, and there's all these kinds of things. We've been studying it really in heavy marketing since the 1920s. But what's kind of shifted now is we've democratized propaganda. If you go back in your history lessons and you look at World War II or something, those are like, again, low-hanging fruit for the time's sake of this podcast. They knew propaganda worked, right? Nazis knew propaganda worked. It was hard to amplify, though, and it was very expensive. And we, at some point in our history, decided that we, people, humans, no longer wanted to pay for information. And when we did that, we basically made a deal with the devil. It's a, you know, it's the trade-off, right? So I don't want to pay for it anymore. News has to find a way, or people have to find a way to pay to put it there. So now it's all about clicks and engagement. And so that's why triggers is the main thing, because the whole goal is to trigger you. It's typically to trigger you in a negative way, right? They want to get that reptilian brain, fight or flight. So we go and unpack triggers a bunch in a bunch of different ways. And how can we get students to not only say, how does this make me feel? What is the author's benefit to make me feel this particular way? And kind of go down that line. And then the second one, so I'm going fast here, but
it's okay.
The first lens you can control, right? Being triggered, you can control that. Like that's a you thing. The second one is also a you thing, and it's access. How do I access information? And I kind of jumped into that a little bit earlier. We're talking about that mobile thing. Access is a lot about how you see the information. What is the algorithm? You know, like the algorithm in Facebook or Twitter or now TikTok, or a lot of people don't know the top search engine is YouTube. Like they all think it's something like all of these kinds of things. Like kids are parsing credibility and searching for information through those. So we have to start getting them to understand that, as well as the algorithm, which is trained to send you stuff that triggers you. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to gloss over that one, but those first two lenses, trigger and access, are what we try to get people to understand first, and that you can control that. So then the second part is looking at what you can't control. It's the society and how it impacts you. And that would be the third lens would then be forensics. And that's just teaching and getting people to understand the community reading experience, for example. Back to the example I already gave with you. If you share something with me and I like it, or I share it with somebody else, even if I dislike it, that impacts the community reading experience and it impacts others. Well, in doing that, am I creating an us versus them scenario, which we're kind of seeing both in politics and a culture war and in all of this kind of stuff? What am I hoping to do in this environment? And so it begins to spread. And again, I'm turboing through this, but we try to teach them pieces within this lens that they can begin to look for clues, which is that forensic part, to make decisions of whether this is a credible source or not, or this is a credible person to follow, or if I should share it. And then the last but not least, there are a lot of characters out there sharing mis, dis, and malinformation. Mm-hmm. And to be frank, they're also sharing truthful and really good information. We think it's important for people to again, similar to not calling it fake news and actually narrowing it down to mis, dis, and malinformation. We also think it's important to look at the motives of the people that are sharing this, because some of them look very similar. And we have the last part is we have three different chapters where we have many lessons from all the grade spans and cases that are meant for students to try to solve, basically, and using the particular lenses to see these stories from a different angle. And that is the fast, really, really fast turbo version of that. But the last part I will say, and the part that I think we're really excited about, is the lens gives you the common language. But we built as a secondary, a companion piece, a thing called the evidence locker. And that is where all of these, you know, 100 plus resources, many lessons, all kinds of things, infographics that you can use tomorrow are housed. And we built our own website. It is in a mobile environment because we think it's so important. We tried to model what we talk about. And it also shows you an evolution of when we did fact versus fiction, we did a lot of QR codes and a lot of links. And some of those things are broken.
Yep.
And this allows us to now update it on the fly and regular. and also teach that stuff changes. And one time you found a source here and it's now gone and it disappears. And so
I thought that was a genius way to do it.
And, well, thank you.
And the evidence locker, like, perfectly labeled too.
we tried to do, fit this all together in, we didn't want to just talk about detectives and not make it fit.
I just love all the lenses and how they, I mean, these are things too that are like sticky, like kids are going to remember, and the way that you have done it, and teachers as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's like, I can just picture kids going home and being so excited about even telling like their families what they've learned, mm-hmm. because they would be able to understand how to describe it the way you did it. I think that is so, every student and teacher needs to hear this. Like schools just need to adopt this because it makes sense more than anything. You know, that
it's really interesting to me. When you go in, we certainly created this for students and teachers, but it's really interesting when I share this stuff with folks when we have more time and larger, and I can show those examples and things like that, how many leaders are like, I need this information because of some of the things that are happening in our school board meetings.
Yeah.
Do you have any resources that we can give to parents? Right. We've even gotten called by like senior centers. Like, can you come help us, parse credibility? Because people want to stay informed, mm-hmm. but the tough part is how do I keep from being influenced by mis-dis and malinformation? Like, and what is that? And to your point, I think these lenses and these lessons where we again scaffold it, I think it really helps them have something to talk about.
Yeah.
And the last part I'll be is like, we give examples, but we really tried to make it enough room for you to customize it to fit your needs for your students, your community, whatever. We tried to put lessons in there that are going to trigger people, but not trigger people necessarily in the more in the curiosity way, not in the, I'm going to get in a political upheaval, or I'm going to have some kind of a, you pick the term, like our environment.
Yeah.
Whatever end of the political spectrum you're on, you're going to get in trouble from somebody. So we tried to pick things that were a little more in that middle. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I get it. And so I think that, I mean, all those things together, they just really form just a nice, again, going back to what I have been at school trying to support the kids and fitting everything else in, that these resources have been the ones that we turn to all the time. And especially having the online resource too, like, we really appreciate that as well. Are you working on a third book?
Not at this time. We're very busy. I mean, so this work is a labor of love for us. Like, we think this is the most important work we can do, because we think it impacts everything. I mean, healthcare, we saw that during the pandemic, all the mis-dis and malinformation, government and politics. I don't even need to go into the polarization, race, gender. I mean, like, there's all this evidence out there, like, kids are hurting themselves because of social media, and people all want to blame social media on that. Well, humans did this. Yeah. And we have to unpack it, and we have to prevent it. We think media and it's easy to blame the system. It's easy to blame the man, and again, I don't mean that, but just like, you pick the entity. It's that othering thing that we talked about. And media influences that, but byproduct of what we say we either want or use or all those things. And if we don't start unpacking that and like how this impacts our brain, how this is impacting our culture, how we feel about each other, our health. I mean, I heard something the other yesterday when I was really late, I was driving home, but like people are taking vacations now just to sleep. There's actually this catering market of like sleeping vacations. And like immediately I'm going like, something's wrong. Yeah. If we have to go take a vacation to sleep, and I don't mean like I want to go read a book out on a beach and relax. They're talking about like sleeping and like too stressed out too. I mean, we could go down the line. And so I really believe this is at the heart of that.
Yeah.
But it's also Jennifer and I like putting all of our time in it. Like we don't get paid a boatload of money to be able to study and do this. You know, we're not working for the New York Times, like whatever. And so we have to manage it with other work. So I do a lot of other things as well. It doesn't mean we won't, but right now we're real exhausted.
You're busy, and that was a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
to your point, we do add on a regular basis to the evidence locker. We also have a newsletter that we put out once a month. And so like there's all kinds of things that we're still doing. We just can't do it to that large scale of what the two books were.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. Well, I just appreciate you sharing this so much, and we're going to make sure that people know where to find your work and these books, but what can you tell them about where to find you online?
Well, I mean, it's easy if you type in fact versus fiction or developing digital detectives, Jennifer Lagarde and Darren Hudgens will show up there in kind of a lot of places. With regards to like Twitter and Instagram, I'm D Hudgens, HUDGINS. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me all these kinds of to places. I am much more behind the scenes in running events and doing things. But I would be happy to support you. I've also done a ton of workshops and keynotes and things like that. And if you have questions and you want to do anything, I'd be happy to chat with you about all this. I'm sorry, unpacking this giant web in 20 minutes is tough.
I'm going to ask you to be on a webinar next year because that's what we need to do, because then
it'd be fun.
This all out, and it would be so fun. You're just so interesting to talk to, and I think that it's such important information and just so important for us to know as librarians, but also all educators, right? And it shows also the importance of us as collaborators and leaders from the library too. So
Well, and I want to say one other thing, like there's so much about the, like, I want to talk to librarians and teachers just like directly, is like what you're seeing on social media and what you're reading in the news is algorithms trying to poke you, right? Trying to get that fight or flight thing. Social servants are more important than ever. And we saw this during the pandemic. And I have a real passion. You know, you'll say, well, like you're a consultant now and you're working in this world, but my wife is a nurse. Like I said, I was a teacher for a long time, and this society will not run if it's not for media specialist librarians. And I know you're going through a bunch of stuff. There are a lot of mental things that are going through with, you know, just classroom teachers. I'm getting messages all the time. Mm-hmm. And some of it is 100% legit. And I would never tell you that what you're feeling is wrong. But what I will also say is you are being fed stuff that is, you know, it's, what's the saying, misery loves company.
Yeah.
You hang around these people, and you keep hearing the same thing, you begin to believe that that is reality. And if you go on social media and you spend tons of time there, you're not going to leave real happy. And you're also going to be fed a bunch of stuff that makes you think the world is one way. In reality, it's not. And there are a lot of people that love and support you. There are small minority groups on both ends that are amplifying things because they have the ability to do it. And it's having a real effect on our psyche. And I fall into it as well. But I just want to tell you, you're amazing. We couldn't do this without you. Kids need you more than ever. And please, find a group that is not going to keep triggering you in a negative way.
That's right. You guys listen to what he has to say. Definitely the truth. And so many amazing people out there that are making such a difference within our schools and education systems and the lives of kids. So I just appreciate everyone and you. So thank you so much.
Too.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you. So much.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me today. And we just appreciate everything that you've shared and all the knowledge that you and Jennifer share in these books. It's just amazing. You're going to be able to find his information attached to this podcast along with the resources and a certificate of professional development that you can download and fill out to use. As always, thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for this episode of the Future Ready Librarian podcast series, Leading from the Library. And a very special thank you to our sponsor, Follett. You make a difference in our libraries, schools, and within our lives and that of our students every day. We appreciate everything that you do. I hope that you take what you learned in today's podcast and put it to use within your practice as a Future Ready Librarian. Until next time, friends, keep finding ways to lead within and from your library.